This podcast is a ministry of Oriel Christian Assembly in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please visit our website at www.orielchristianassembly.org.
Well, today, as I've been saying, is a special day, and it is the day that we celebrate the day of Pentecost, going back to the early church, and I want to share a little bit about that with you today, because even as my title that I can give to you, I guess right now, is this. It says, Pentecost, a past event or a present day experience. Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, which we're going to be reading about in a moment, is it just a past event for us today, or is it a present day experience? Is it something that we are still experiencing today? How many know Pentecost is still going on today? Amen? Praise God. So that's the message we want to share with you today. Let me pray with you before we start. Lord, again, we thank you for what you've done already in the service, Lord, touching our hearts, oh God. We just ask now, Lord, that you would minister to us through your word. Let this word bring fresh, refreshing life to our spirit, man, Lord, that we would realize nothing has changed and the Holy Spirit is here today for us in a fresh and new way, just as he was with the church of the early days, Lord. We ask, God, that you would enlighten us today as we read your word. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Praise God. Let me just give you a little background before we go to Acts chapter 2. In the Old Testament, there was the Feast of Pentecost. Okay? Last October, I believe it was, we celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles. How many remember that? When we danced and worshiped and praised God, that's one of the feasts. But there also was the Feast of Pentecost that they celebrated in the Old Testament. And another name for that feast was not only Pentecost, but also the Feast of Weeks. Okay? Weeks. You know, week one, week two, weeks. We got, what, usually 4 or 5 weeks in a month. So the Feast of Pentecost, or weeks, and it was held at the end of the wheat harvest. Okay? So when they had their harvest of wheat, it was at the end of that time is when they celebrated this Feast of Pentecost. And it was always June 6th. All right, how many know today is June 3rd? But in the Old Testament, it always was that day, June 6th, when they celebrated the Feast of Pentecost or the Feast of Weeks. And their purpose in celebrating this feast was to commemorate the giving of the law. Okay? So when they came together and celebrated, it had to do with remembering when the law was given, okay? When they received the Ten Commandments and all the law of God, which is a lot more than Ten Commandments. I don't know if you know this, but the Pentateuch, which is the first 5 books of the law or the Torah, has 2,800 laws in it, okay? How many are happy you're not under the old law today? I am, and you should be too. 2,800 laws that they had to follow ritually, okay? Today, we don't have that, amen? We're serving under a new covenant. The New Testament is the new covenant. It's a covenant of grace, amen? Not that we don't follow rules and laws. We have those in the old, in the New Testament, but it's different than the old, okay? So we're thankful for that today. So in the Old Testament, when you think about the Feast of Pentecost or the Feast of Weeks, it had to do with remembering the giving of the law. Okay? Now, in the New Testament, we have the Day of Pentecost that we celebrate every year at June. And this is what the dictionary says about the Day of Pentecost. I thought it was pretty good. It's not accurate all the way, but it says, it is a Christian festival celebrated on the 7th Sunday after Easter, commemorating the descent of the Holy Spirit, or they even said in the dictionary, the Holy Ghost, which I thought was pretty interesting. The dictionary said that, upon the apostles. Okay? So, again, it's not a total accurate definition, but it's pretty good. I don't look at it, and I don't commemorate it today as just a festival. Okay? When we think about the day of Pentecost, yes, it happened years ago in the early church, and we can look at it and remember it from back then, but I don't want us just to think about it as just a festival or as a past event today. How many know what I'm talking about? It was the beginning of something special for the church. And it also said here that it commemorated the descent of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost upon the apostles. Well, it just didn't come upon the apostles of that day. How many know that? It came on the church. Amen? We're going to read that today, how it came on all those who were waiting for the Holy Spirit's descent. So it just didn't come on the leaders or the apostles, the pastors. It came on all those who were waiting for the Holy Ghost. So, again, a little accuracy about the definition of the day of Pentecost. So that's what today we want to talk about and celebrate a little bit, and again, get an understanding. What does the day of Pentecost mean? This day really separates some churches today. I need to say this in the beginning. Not everybody follows what we're about to teach you on and preach about today. Amen? Not everybody believes in the day of Pentecost, or let me put it this way to you. They believe that it happened, but it happened then, and then it ended. How many know what I'm talking about? It just happened back then in the early church, but you know what? It's over now. We don't have the day of Pentecost anymore. A lot of churches believe that today, okay? Which is not accurate, all right? The day of Pentecost, what it represents, continues to happen. The key is, as long as you're open to it, amen? How many know you have to be open to the Word of God? If you're not, you won't receive what we're giving you or teaching you, okay? So, let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 2, and we want to read about this event. And as we read about this a little bit today, because we're going to do much, we have communion to do today, and it's already late, so I'm going to try to bring this to a short message if possible. There's so much here, though. As we read about what happened in the book of Acts, I want you to think about this. Why did the day of Pentecost come? What were some ingredients here that caused this event to happen? And we want to relate that to us today. You know, when we come to church, you know, when we come, how do we come? You know, what type of our, how is our heart when we come? You know, what are we expecting from God when we come to church? This should all relate to us today when we see how the day of Pentecost came back in the early church and what were some of the ingredients that brought it about. Okay? Let's look at these verses. We want to read, again, Acts chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 through 4, and then also 14 to 21. So we're going to try to go through this kind of quick. There's the whole chapter is important, but I'm just going to kind of hit some highlights here for us about what happened when the day of Pentecost came. Verse 1, it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." I'm just going to read the first four verses. "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled," notice how it says here, "and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Hallelujah. When we talk about the day of Pentecost, this is what we talk about, okay? We talk about people who, in chapter 1, came into an upper room. Even Rose mentioned it as she was up here. 120 about, it says in chapter 1, that came and were seeking God, because before Jesus left this earth, he told the disciples and the apostles, you know what? You need to get together and wait, because I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so we see in even these verses of chapter 2, it says, when this day finally did arrive and it came, it says, it came while they were all with one accord in one place. Amen? You notice it said they were in one accord, right? Not the Honda Accord. Amen? I may know that a lot of people like the Honda Accord. They drive that. That's not the Accord he's talking about here. All right? Not the Honda Civic. But he means they were all unified. Amen? They were all in unity. They were all with one heart and one spirit. They came together in agreement. Amen? How many know if we want Pentecost to hit our church, or we want good things to happen here, signs and wonders and miracles and you name it, we need to always come together here unified. Amen? You know, we need to always have that spirit. And you notice here in the very beginning, that's how they came. I'm sure they didn't always agree with each other, because they were human beings back here in the early church like we are today. You know, it doesn't mean we're always going to agree 100% on everything, but all in all, when it comes to God, when it comes to His Word, okay, we need to be unified. We need to be agreed. We need to walk in one accord, and we need to come in one place. Amen? Like you did today. You all came where? Here. This is home. This is Oriel. This is your church, right? So as they came into one accord back then and came in one place, it says that the Holy Spirit came. Amen. Now, as we see this, for lack of time, I don't want to go back to chapter 1 in Acts, but this is where you can look at it later in Acts 1:4. And also in verses 13 and 15, I just relate to it. It says that they came together waiting for the promise. All right? Waiting for the promise from God. Waiting for the promise. And when they did come together in that upper room, you can see it in verses 13 and 15. It says they came together praying together. Amen? I think that's another ingredient that we must have as we come here together. And I know we have specific times we pray. Like this month, we'll have a particular night, the last Friday of the month that's usually been ending up, that we come together and what? Pray. Amen? There must be times of prayer that we have in our church for one another, for the church, for our community, for our families. When we do this, we see this is what they did back in the early church. We need to continue to do this and wait for the promise. I ask us today, church, when we come to church, what are we waiting for? Amen? When we come to church, what are we looking for from God? What do we want to see from God happen here? Amen? Do we want to have another day of Pentecost hit us here? Amen? And how many know it? This day just continues to go on, okay? I'm just trying to make a point here today that when they first waited for the coming of it, they had to do certain things. Jesus told them to go find a place and wait for the promise. But they didn't just say, okay, I'm going to come and we're just going to sit here and eat and talk and wait. No. They had to come and be agreed. They had to come and what? Pray. They had to come and seek God, right? These are ingredients for God to move when we do these things. Revival hits when we do these things. Amen? The Holy Spirit descends when we have prayer and we have worship and we come agreed and we have no differences amongst ourselves. That's when the Lord shows up. Amen? Isn't that what you want to see happen here? Amen? The Lord shows up in a spirit of revival and things begin to happen. So this is what took place in the early church. And that's why we can read about how then the Lord visited the early church. Now, look what happened in verse 2. As they were in one accord, in one place, it says, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting." How many want to hear a rushing mighty wind here? Amen? I mean, the sound. It said it was a sound from heaven. Praise God. We need to hear from heaven, don't we? Amen? We need a sound from heaven. We need the Spirit of God from heaven to descend upon us here at Oriel. I just don't want our church to be a normal church like any church down the street. You just come in one way and you go out the same way. I don't want that here. Amen? I mean, I want you to come here and experience God. Amen? I want you to come here and your life be changed. Amen? Your life be touched by the Spirit of the Lord. That's what we're talking about here. And when we can have things like this happen, we will affect people. The community will be affected. But you notice here it said, suddenly it came. When you're serving God and when we come to church before God and meet together, you know what? Suddenly things are going to happen here. Amen? Suddenly things may be just going okay, and then all of a sudden, suddenly God might do something different. Amen? Are you ready for some suddenlies here? I mean, suddenly we might be praising God. All of a sudden, you know what? The Lord might give us a word just suddenly. Suddenlies are good. Amen? Suddenlies are like surprises from God. I like suddenlies. How about you? And that's what happened here. All of a sudden, as they were in one accord and praying and in one place, suddenly out of nowhere, the Holy Spirit showed up. That's Pentecost, church. Amen. I like what it says here from the Old Testament, or not the Old Testament, but from even the Amplified Bible. It says that they were in one house and... a sound from heaven as a wind came and filled all the house. The Amplified Bible says it this way. It was the rushing of a violent tempest blast. Think about that today. Not just a sound and as a rushing mighty wind, but it was a violent tempest blast. Okay? Meaning this sound, this wind just changed things in the church. Amen? I mean, when the Spirit of God came down, nobody was the same anymore. Hallelujah. How many know when the Holy Spirit touches us and we get that wind in our services, we won't be the same anymore. Amen? That's what we're talking about here. He says a rushing, tempest, violent blast hit the church. We need that today here. Amen? We need the blast of the Holy Spirit to come in all the time when we get together. And I understand every service will be different when we get together. Wednesday nights are different than Sunday mornings. How many know that? And Sunday mornings are different than Friday nights when we meet. All our services are not the same, but you know what? The Holy Spirit is always welcome here when we get together. Amen? He's the one who leads us and guides us. And we want what Pentecost represents to always be here in our church. Amen. Always allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us in what we do here at the church. So suddenly things happen from heaven. We want sudden events to happen here. And those suddenlies happen when the Holy Spirit shows up. How many want the Holy Spirit to show up here? Amen. Suddenly things changed when the Holy Spirit came. Now, because of the wind of God that came forth, because of this sound of this mighty wind and it coming upon the church, then things begin to happen, which we read in these verses. In verse 3, it says, "Then there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them." Amen? So when the Holy Spirit blew upon the church, when this rushing mighty wind came down, you know what? It came down on the people. It just didn't come and hit the place where they were, but it affected the people. Amen. How many know that when the Spirit of God moves in us here, we get touched by the Spirit? Amen. We get affected. I mean, we don't want just the Holy Spirit to come and go and nothing has changed in us, right? We want the Spirit of God to affect us. Well, here, when the Holy Spirit finally arrived, it says that the Holy Spirit came upon each one of them, and it was like cloven tongues of fire that sat upon each one. Amen. God wants us to be like that today, that we would allow the Holy Spirit to come upon us and to fill us and to allow those tongues of fire. Amen. How many know when you touch fire, your body reacts? Right? When you got a barbecue going, last Sunday we had the barbecue going. We had those coals so hot. I mean, that thing was burning so much you just couldn't even keep your hand on there. Why? Because it was bringing forth heat, right? Fire, okay? First those coals got on fire, then they kind of browsed off a little bit. Just think about it. In the natural, take it to the spiritual. Cloven tongues of fire sat on the people. That's what He wants us to have today, amen? Fire to be in us and out of us, to be affected in our lives. I also like it here, the way it says it in the Amplified. It says, tongues resembling fire. Okay? So again, it's that fire that needs to be in us and all upon us, that it resembles natural fire. That's the Holy Spirit. When the day of Pentecost hit, everything was upside down. Amen. You talk about order, I don't think it was order at that point. I think things were just happening. But our God is a God of order. I understand that. But what I'm trying to say, God wants to invade our territory today. Amen. He wants to come and shake things up. Amen. He wants to come and get us fired up and get us excited today. That's what Pentecost is about. And you know what? Unless we have the Holy Spirit, we're dead. Amen? We are. We really are. Unless the Holy Spirit is moving in us and through us and in our church, you know what? We're just like any church. You know, if you notice, our church is not named Oriel Reformed Church. Now, I say that respectfully, but I want you to understand, you know, in South Holland where I live, there's a lot of, quote, Reformed churches. And if you go to their services, they're Reformed, okay? What do I mean by that? They're very quiet, very reserved. You know what? They may sing, but if you see anybody raise your hand, it's a miracle. Raise their hands to the Lord. Let alone, how dare you speak in tongues? Oof. Okay? So what am I saying here? We're not that type of church, okay? What happened here in the book of Acts, this is what we're about here at Oriel, amen? And this is what we want to see continue to happen here. I mean, we want God to move and have His way. We want God to use everybody here, every one of us to flow in the tongues, okay? We need the fire of the Holy Spirit. It's the fire that does a work in our hearts, and things begin to happen when we allow the fire of the Holy Spirit to come upon us and to work in our lives and in our church. This is what began to happen here in Acts chapter 2. Hallelujah. Powerful. Tongues resembling fire. Let me ask us today, what is on us today? Do we got that fire today? I want each one of us to examine ourselves. I got to examine myself as your pastor here. Am I letting that fire be upon me as much as possible? Am I allowing the Holy Spirit to fill me and use me and to lead me and guide me? What is on us today? Is it fire? I hope it is. Amen. But how many know we can never be satisfied where we are today? Amen. Never get complacent and say, oh, it's okay. You know, how it's going is fine. We just go with the status quo. No. Amen. That's when you get complacent. That's when things begin to die down and we need to be awakened by the Spirit of God. Okay? We can't allow that Spirit to come inside of us and be a part of what happens here. We must always be hungry and thirsty for more of God. Can I get an amen out there? I was thinking I needed my bell here for a second. Amen. fire, okay? Fire of the Holy Spirit, tongues of fire is what we're reading about here. This made an impact on the church. The Holy Spirit will make an impact here. Let's go to verse 4. It says, and as these tongues of fire sat upon them, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. See what that dictionary said, the apostles just got filled. No, it says A-double-L. That means everybody, amen? All, it said. All those who were in that upper room and that 120, it says, all of them were filled with the Holy Ghost, amen? Anybody want to be filled here today? Praise God, right? And how many know it's not just a one-time experience today? Oh, whenever that day was you got filled the first time, it's continually you're getting filled afresh and anew by the Spirit of God. They were all filled, amen, with the Holy Ghost. And because they were filled, something happened. It says, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen? It's not going to be when the pastor touches you or the first lady prays for you. I mean, that can happen where God will use that, but it's when the Holy Spirit fills you, you're going to begin to speak. Amen? You're going to begin to speak in tongues, all right? And I'm not talking about Italian tongues. Now, if you don't know how to speak in Italian tongues and you get filled and you begin to speak in Italian tongues, man, that's the Holy Ghost, amen? I mean, that's what happened here. I don't know if you understand, but they all spoke in different languages. And some of them, you know, they came into the room and began to hear their languages being spoken, and they were saying, my God, what's happening here? Because they knew they didn't know their languages, amen? The Holy Spirit language of tongues is a special language today, amen? I mean, I've read stories about different ones who, in the ministry, evangelists and missionaries. Just recently, I think it was in one of the Assemblies of God magazines, that someone, when she received the Spirit of God, I believe she was a missionary sent to another country. I forgot what country. But she got one word as she got filled with the Spirit. And of course, she got more as she went on. But that one word meant something. She didn't know it until the Lord sent her to a foreign country. And when she went to this foreign country, they heard her say that word. And you know what? That was a word from their language. And God used that to bless this woman, to let her know, you know what? I have definitely called you to this country and this nation through her being filled with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that neat? I mean, that's the God that we serve, okay? So this language that we receive, this tongues, you know what? It may even be in a language that somebody else speaks. We don't know. We just speak out what God gives us as we're filled. But the key is that, you know what? When we receive this infilling continually, then we do something with it. Amen? We see here that they just didn't sit there, but they began to speak out what God was filling them with. And that's what we need to have active in our lives every day as Christians here today. We need to be able to bring forth what God is putting inside of us. If you don't release what God puts inside of you, you're going to explode. Amen? You won't be free, that's for sure. You'll be bound if you can't release what God puts inside of you. Our church wants you to release it. Amen? I want to hear it from you. I want you to flow in the Spirit. I mean, that's part of my job, is to get you to do that for God. Amen? Because you'll be blessed here today when you allow the Spirit of God to work inside of you and outside of you. I like, again, the Amplified Bible, when it talks about this verse here, where it says, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. Here's how the Amplified Bible says, as the Spirit kept giving them clear and loud expression. You need to catch that today. It says, they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit kept giving them clear and loud, this is the word, expression. We need to be able to what? Give expression today. Amen? Expression, meaning, you know what? The Holy Spirit is a person today, and He wants to express himself in you and out of you today. Amen? And we all do that differently today. I understand that, but there's an understanding here that we get when we get filled with the Spirit. You know what? You are going to express it. You're going to give it out. Amen? In different ways, not only in the tongues that you speak, but by the things that you do. Okay? The gifts that God gives you that are anointed and given by the Holy Spirit. What I'm trying to say is, how is the Holy Spirit expressing Himself in you today? Amen? Only you can answer that. Only I can answer that today. You know, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to do something. That's what I'm saying here today. Amen? You can't get filled and just sit there. Hallelujah. You are being motivated. You are being energized. You know, you see the Energizer Bunny, right, on the commercial? Because he has that Energizer battery. Keeps on ticking and working, right? Well, it's the same way. The Holy Spirit is that battery inside of us. Amen? And when you allow the Holy Spirit to come in, your battery gets charged up, right? And you begin to speak for the Lord. And you begin to do the things that He's called us to do. You get motivated in your calling for God. You get motivated. You get strengthened. You get encouraged by the Spirit of God. And because of that, as you get filled, you give it out today. Amen? See, you can't receive and just keep it in and not do anything with it. You'll die like that. God wants it to be fresh and for you to receive and give out. You receive and you give. You receive and give. It's like a cycle here today. Amen. That's the Holy Spirit that we're talking about. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost when they received this. And I want you to understand this today as we allow the Spirit of God to flow in us. As we talk about expression here, people react to the expression of the Holy Spirit differently. Okay? We receive the Spirit of God and it affects us differently today. Some people are more emotional than other people. How many understand what I'm talking about? You know, and it'll affect you differently, but it also depends on how you are as a person and your makeup. Everybody is different, and I understand that. But it also tells us as how free you are in the Spirit when you receive the Holy Spirit. If you allow yourself to raise your hands before God, right? That means God has done a work in you and you have that freedom now that the Holy Spirit has brought to you. And you're not ashamed to raise your hands to the Lord. Amen? Many are ashamed today. Okay? It's like, how dare you try to raise my hand up? You know, many people that go to church, they're like in a box, all right? They just feel trapped and there's no freedom, but that's not the way it's supposed to be today, amen? I'm so happy I'm not in a church like that, amen? I used to be that way. I didn't know any better till God saved me and set me free, right? So people, they react differently to the expressions of the Holy Spirit. And in this chapter, we don't have time to look at it, but it talks about the people, how they reacted to the filling of the Holy Spirit upon the disciples of that day. It says here, many were amazed at what they saw. Many marveled, it said. Many were confounded at what they saw. Okay? And today that still happens when people see people getting filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues or moving in the gifts of the Spirit. Many are amazed. They marvel at that. And that's okay, because it's God. It's not the people. It's God that's working through the people. But also that's the positive side. On the negative side, we also have some people, when they see that, they doubt what they see. They think it's people faking it. How many know what I'm talking about? They think it's not true. Alright? Things we see on TV, big crusades and conferences, and we see people getting healed and filled with the Spirit, people falling under the power of God. Many people doubt what they see. And not only do they doubt, many mock when they see it. This happened in chapter 2. Many mocked when they saw this happening, okay? Many of them said, you know what? They're drunk. They're full of wine. And we see here how Peter reacts to that. Let's go to verse 14 of chapter 2. Because this were the reactions of the people of that day. It's no different today, church. People still react like that today. Amen. Look at how Peter responds in verse 14 of chapter 2. He says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words." So he's telling all these people to listen now to what he had to say. And he says, "For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day." That meant it was 9 a.m. Their day started at 6 a.m. So the third hour meant it was 9 a.m. So Peter said, "You know what? No, they're not drunk. It's only 9 a.m. It's the morning, okay? This is the work of the Spirit." But some thought they were actually physically drunk. And let me say this to you. Sometimes when the Holy Spirit moves on us and we have such an expression of the Holy Spirit, I don't think it's happened in a great extent while I've been here, but it will. But in times past, I've been in services where we literally got drunk in the Spirit. How many has ever experienced that here? And I'm not talking about where you're drunk with wine or liquor. I mean, you're just so drunk in the Spirit of God, the Spirit takes over, okay? You're not your own anymore. I mean, how many have ever had the Holy Spirit come in and the spirit of laughter hits the house? Right? Those are things the Holy Spirit does where you begin to laugh, and it's not because you're laughing at a joke. All right? You're not laughing at somebody, but the Holy Spirit brings in joy in the house, and you begin to just laugh and rejoice in the Lord, and you just, it's like you're drunk in the Spirit of God. It's an awesome thing, okay? That's the type of things. I believe it was happening here. And people watched and saw it, and they couldn't understand it. They thought they were literally physically drunk, but they weren't, okay? It was the work of the Spirit that we read here. I want that here. How about you, church? Amen? I want the Lord to come in and to take over our services where, you know what? If I don't get to preach, that's okay. Let Him preach. Amen? Let Him speak through the Spirit. Let him touch us. You know, people get touched by the power. They go under and they spend time with God. That's what it's about. People getting receiving a healing, whatever God wants to do. This is His house. Amen? We want Pentecost here. Hallelujah. We don't want to just have a routine service every time we meet. Oh, we got songs and we got announcements and we got prayer. You know, program. Right? Now don't get me wrong, programs are fine. You gotta have order. But when the Holy Spirit comes in and says, "No, do this now," forget the program. Amen? Let the Holy Spirit have His way. That's what we want. That's what we want. We want to be open to that, okay? Now, as I wrap this up here, look at what happens that is supposed to happen in the church and in the world today. It was prophesied here, and it's happening today. Verse 16, it says, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." Peter now begins to talk about what was spoken years ago in the Old Testament by the prophet Joel in the book of Joel, okay? It's in Joel and it's also here in the book of Acts. In verse 17 it says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." That's one of the things that are going to happen when we let the Holy Spirit move. "And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." Okay? This is what happens when you allow the Spirit of God to come in. Verse 18, "And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit." That's us, church. "And they shall prophesy." Amen? How many want to prophesy? Hallelujah. Meaning you're going to open your mouth for the Lord. God's going to give you a word for us. Amen. It says in verse 19, "And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke." Amen. He says, "And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood." Oh Lord. "Before that great and notable day of the Lord come." These are things that are going to happen in the last days we're in these last days, okay? We're in this portion of time right now. These are things that should be happening, and they are. But I believe they're going to happen in a greater extent as we get closer and closer to the day of the Lord's return. And verse 21, he caps all this with this, saying, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen. I believe in these last days, as the Holy Spirit moves and we allow God to have His way, we're going to see a great response to the salvation call. Amen. We're going to see people come from everywhere saying, "What must I do to be saved today?" Amen. Because the day is nearing His return. So I believe the response is going to be great. So we see here the fulfillment of prophecy, okay? Spoken way back from the book of Joel, from the prophet, how in the last days these things were going to happen, okay? Now, I believe it's not only that we're going to see wonders in heaven and signs in the earth, but I believe we're going to see signs in the church. Can I get an amen? We're going to see signs like never before in the church. We're going to see salvation like never before in the church. We got to be open to it today. Say, "Lord, do what you would have, Lord. Have your signs and your wonders and your miracles take place in these last days." See, we want that, but that's us. Not everybody wants that, okay? And we got to be careful of what we say when we see the Holy Spirit begin to move here. Because not everybody always likes or is comfortable with what they see. But you know what? If it's ordained of God and it's in order, let it happen, okay? Let God have His way. But we have to be careful not to mock or slander. Now I'm going to say some real strong words here, adjectives, because these are things I've had to deal with here recently from some, that we're not so critical, okay, or so judgmental when the Holy Spirit moves and people do different things, okay? Some have been bothered by that when they see some dance or do something we don't normally maybe do all the time. We get so bothered, but don't be so critical today, amen? Don't be so judgmental. If it's scriptural, let God do it, amen? If it's in order, let God have His way. You know, that's what we're trying to bring, that we would have a spirit of freedom here. Amen? That we want freedom to flow, okay? If you see Pastor Rich jumping up and down because he's excited, you should get offended at that today. Amen? You should say, "I'm blessed. Look at Pastor Rich. He's excited. He's on fire for God." Amen? I mean, if you see someone get excited and the Holy Spirit comes upon them and they begin to run all of a sudden, that means God is freeing somebody in their spirit. Amen? It means God's doing something in that person. Don't quench that, church. Don't begin to criticize and be judgmental, okay? I hate to say it, that's why some are not here today. Some couldn't take that. And you know what? I feel bad about that, but you know what? We've come here to bring freedom, amen? We didn't come to box you up. We didn't, okay? And I understand maybe this church in years past hasn't been taught this. That's why the Lord sent us here. Can I get an amen? Because He wants you to come to a new level, hallelujah. I'm talking what? Pentecost, hallelujah, amen? Well, you let God have His way. You get filled and you let the Lord do what He wants to do. That's freedom, church. But I understand, not everybody's going to like that. Not everybody's going to want that. And you know what? Well, if that's the case, then maybe this ain't the church for them. But if you want to be free, you want to learn about the Holy Spirit and let Pentecost happen here, this is home then. Amen? And this is where you should be. Praise God. So let's be careful, okay? We don't realize it, but when we speak words against the move of God, or we speak words against pastors and leadership, you know, that we're getting into serious territory. And if we don't have anything good to say, it's better we don't say anything. Amen? Than to say things that hurt, okay? Words hurt. Amen? When we speak negative words, they hurt. They affect people. They affect the body. So we got to be careful. A couple scriptures here I almost didn't get to them, but they're so important. 1 Thessalonians 5:4 and 5 says this, quench not the Spirit. Okay? We can't. We want the Spirit to come. Don't quench the Spirit and don't despise prophesying. Okay? When God speaks to us, let the gift of prophecy come, right? Be open. Say, Lord, speak to me and all the gifts of the Spirit. In Ephesians 4:30 it says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. So we got to be careful. As a group here, like they were in the book of Acts, they didn't let anybody come and grieve the Spirit or quench the Spirit of God. We want the Spirit, amen. We want more of the Spirit, not to quench it. So let's be careful of the things that we may say. Let's be the opposite of those scriptures. Let's be like they were in the book of Acts, where they were hungry and thirsty and they waited for the Holy Spirit to descend. They waited for the Holy Spirit to blow, and that wind of God came in the church and things began to happen. Hallelujah. This is what we want here at Oriel today. Praise God. And believe me, as we are in unity and in one mind and one heart, it will happen here. It has to happen. Amen? Be encouraged today as we come together and seek God together, that Pentecost will continue to come here and it will get greater. That's my desire, church. It will get greater and greater. We will see more of the Spirit of God moving here in our lives and in our services. But the key is, what do we want? Amen? What do we want today? God will hear our prayers today. He will hear our requests as long as they line up with His Word. Hallelujah. That's Pentecost today, church. Hallelujah. This is what it's about. It's about the church being alive today and walking in what God would have for us today. Hallelujah.